You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
So thankful that we can gather together like this. We just remember with great perspective that there are people all around the world right now that can't gather as freely as we can today. And that should make us cherish this time. Amen? That should make us value this time. That should make us value the people that we have around us. It should make us value this book that we hold in our hands. Some people in countries around the world, they get arrested, they get killed for holding this book. We can hold it freely. Amen. Are you happy about that today? I'm so glad about that. And so if you have your Bible, turn right away to Ephesians chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, you can slip up your hand, and one of the ushers on either side would love to get a copy of God's Word to you. We want everybody to have their eyes on a copy of God's Word. We're going to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. If you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. We want you to take it and read it and have your life radically transformed by it, and that's what will happen when you read God's Word. So Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to meditate on one verse today. We're about to launch into a brand new ministry year next Sunday. Next Sunday, we launch into a brand new ministry year. It brings with it a brand new sermon series. It brings with it fresh vision, fresh urgency for the mission of God. But before we launch into a brand new ministry year next week, I have something on my heart from God's Word that I want to bring to us today. And I trust and believe and have been praying that God will use this Word of God to change our lives. You say, that's a little bit extravagant for you to say God's going to change my life today. No, I believe that. Do you believe that today? That God, in His power, with His Spirit, by His Word, can come and speak a word to you today that will change you forever. Listen, this is not just another Sunday. Maybe think long weekend, I'm going to go have a barbecue later today. Maybe go out of town. Maybe I'm just coming back from out of town. Listen, none of that today. It's not just another Sunday. We're not just going through the motions. God has a word for us today. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. And so I want to take this opportunity to bring to us a word from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And it's going to remind us of a fundamental, significant discipline of the Christian life, of the Christian church. Without this discipline, simply put, we are dead. We're dead. We have no hope. Without this discipline, without this priority, simply put, we just become people who are going through the motions. Without this necessity, we are completely left to our own devices. And when left to our own devices, we are rendered powerless and helpless and fruitless and lifeless as a church. And I don't know about you, I don't want to be rendered powerless as a church. I don't want to be rendered fruitless as a church. I don't want to be rendered with having limitations of ourselves. We want to access the limitless one. And God's Word gives us a weapon that we can wield in the midst of the spiritual battle that we all face. The title of this morning's message is this: Pray at All Times. Pray at all times. We often say prayer is the easiest thing to do, but it's also the hardest thing to do. It's the easiest thing to do because we can pray anytime, at all times. We're not limited. We're not restrained by anything. We can pray at any time, but it's the hardest thing to do because it requires discipline. It requires focus. It requires commitment. It requires devotion. It requires a heart that's not about itself. It requires a heart that is about the purposes of God, the plans of God. It's about a heart that doesn't love itself. It's a heart that loves God supremely above all things. That's what it requires. That's why it's the hardest thing to do. Because we face idols in our lives every single day that pull our attention away from the place of power, which is the place of prayer. We have idols in our lives every day that call our names. Come, Jason, come over here. Love me. Put your affection on me. Spend your time on me. And we leave the place of power and we leave the place of prayer because the idols of this world call our names. Listen, if we are going to see God do what only He can do in this next ministry year, I'm talking about people you never thought could be saved, them getting saved. I'm talking about people you thought you'd never seen the waters of baptism get baptized. I'm talking about people you never thought could be changed and transformed and used by God, being changed and transformed and used by God. Only God can do that. Amen? Only God can do that. We need him to do that if we're going to see him do these things. If we're going to see him use this church to reach into a hurting community, we need to be people who are convinced of the power and necessity and fundamental priority of prayer. Not as an obligation, not as a duty, not as a matter of ceremony, not I have to do this, so I better go here and do this, but as the place we run to because we love God, the place we run to because we delight in God, the place we run to because we want to see his face a little more clearly. And as we seek his face, he extends what's in his hands towards us, the blessing that he is so willing to bestow upon this church. I can't tell you, church, how much my heart is full of faith for what God will do in our church and in our families and in our marriages and with our children, with our rebellious teenagers. God can do unbelievable, amazing, unimaginable things, but will we be a people of prayer? Will we be people of prayer? Ephesians 6, verse 18. Take a look at it right now. Ephesians 6, 18. The Apostle Paul is writing this in the context of what's probably the most comprehensive teaching on spiritual warfare in all of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Paul says this. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We, loved ones, are in a spiritual battle. This is not a game. We're not trying to set up a nice organization called Harvest Bible Chapel and let's have a bunch of services and do a bunch of nice things. No, that's not what this is. I'm aware, and I want you to be aware, that we are in the midst of a raging spiritual battle. Jot this down. To fight effectively in the spiritual battle we all face, we must, write this down in your notes, we must be constant in prayer. We must be constant in prayer. Notice verse 18. It says, praying at all times. I want to start by giving you a little bit more of the context of Ephesians chapter 6. The section of Ephesians beginning at verse 10, as I said, is describing the Christian life as a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual war. And the Apostle Paul begins to prescribe how the believer is to fight in a real spiritual battle that we find ourselves in. So many believers want to do different things aside from what God's word tells us to do. Paul here tells us how we fight in a very real spiritual battle. So on the screen for you, we have the armor of God listed beginning at verse 10. Notice it. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Verse 14, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This can be an entire sermon series. It probably will be in the years to come to teach us about how to fight and spiritual warfare specifically from God's Word. But notice what comes next in verse 18. Praying at all times. So the text tells us we have a very real enemy. And the text tells us, God's Word tells us, the enemy has some schemes. He has some plans. He's plotting some stuff. He's not passive in a corner with like two horns on his head. He has some schemes, and he's powerful. And we're engaged, the text tells us, in a battle to identify and resist and to stand firm against these schemes. And Paul tells us that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Sometimes we feel like in this life we're fighting against people. Our biggest problem in this world is people. Our biggest problem is that person who's arguing with us at work, or the child that's run away from home, or whatever. It's not flesh and blood. It's not the battle. The battle is not against flesh and blood. Paul tells us the battle is against real rulers, authorities. Rulers, authorities, cosmic powers of darkness, and spiritual forces of evil in the unseen realm. You can't see it. So question, number one question we need to ask ourselves right now. Did you know that? Question for you. Did you know that? Are you aware that you, as a child of God, are in the midst of a spiritual battle and you have an enemy of your soul and he's scheming against you with his hosts? He's scheming. He's plotting. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. Did you know that? Are you aware of that? The fact is that every single believer in Jesus Christ is engaged in a real spiritual battle that takes place in the heavenly realm, the spiritual realm. It's a battle for the soul. And the enemy's against us. Are you aware of that? Because the enemy's not so concerned with people that are not aware of it. They're already getting defeated. They're not concerned about the spiritual battle. They're not going to their knees in prayer. They're not really involved. They're just kind of nominal on the side, complacent. They're not really too damaging to the kingdom of Satan. When you begin to realize you're in a spiritual battle, you're going to begin to realize how you need to fight, because the fight is real. There is a spiritual battle all around us. Are you aware that there are demonic forces working right now to lure young children towards drug and alcohol abuse? It's not just peer pressure. It's not flesh and blood. There's demonic forces at work that want your kids and my kids to fall into the trap of drug abuse and substance abuse. Are you aware there are demonic forces working right now in every strip club that opens up? It's not just a business strategy. It's a demonic strategy. Are you aware of that? Are you aware there are demonic forces at work right now in every attempt in our culture to discredit the authority of God's word? And oh, how it is subtle sometimes. And oh, how it is prevalent that all over in our culture, that it seems like the fabric of our culture, woven within it, is this desire to discredit the word of God now. That's demonic. That's not flesh and blood. You're worried about the government. You're worried about the premier. You're worried about all these people. It's not flesh and blood. There's demonic forces at play. Are you aware there are demonic forces at work right now to expose our young children to the enslaving world of pornography? There are demonic forces right now at work to cause little girls to begin to doubt their value based on the unrealistic ideals of our present culture. There are demonic forces at work right now to make husbands believe that they will find greater satisfaction in stepping outside of their marriage and finding another woman. That is not flesh and blood. That is demonic forces at work, hating us, wanting to discredit us, wanting to destroy us. We're in a spiritual battle. This has been heavy on my heart, because the more we walk day by day in the life of this church, 2 years in now, the more I realize this is not flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle. The things people are walking through, this is a spiritual battle. The things people are facing, the things people are enslaved by, the sin that keeps creeping up on top of people, it's a spiritual battle. It's not flesh and blood. And the more I talk with people as a pastor, I realize I have nothing for you. This is a spiritual battle. I need someone else. I need someone greater. I don't have any advice for you that can liberate you or save you or deliver you. I need someone greater. I don't have any counsel to give you that can liberate you from the enslaving patterns of sin that you're... It's a spiritual battle. We need someone greater. We need a word that's greater. A word that's greater than the word of any man or any pastor. And while James chapter 1 tells us that each person is ruled and lured in and enticed by his own sinful desire, the scriptures reiterate over and over and over again, there is an enemy, namely Satan and his hosts. And he goes about tempting, according to Luke chapter 4. He goes about scheming, according to Ephesians chapter 6. He goes about prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, according to 1 Peter chapter 5. And he is at work with his hosts. And millions of individuals and friendships and marriages and families and churches all over the world are being ravaged by the evil one because people don't know how to fight. People have put down the word of God. People go to churches where the pastor wants to entertain them and tickle their ears and tell them, yeah, you could get rich and do all this stuff. Nonsense! Christians are dying and being ravaged in the spiritual battle because we have failed to pick up the word of God and fight in the prescribed ways God himself gives us. And that's why we're so committed to God's word. And that's why this passage of scripture is so precious to us today, because we have within it a weapon that we've been given, that we are to wield, that is unstoppable, that will grant victory and power, because it accesses the victory and power of someone greater than us, someone who's supremely victorious. It is God himself. So here in Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul gives us the armor of God, but the thing that ties it all together is prayer. Prayer is not listed as one of the pieces of the armor that we need to put on. Prayer is actually the fundamental necessity that permeates it all. That's what we see happening on the screen for you. John MacArthur wrote this: all the while that we're fighting in the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, we are to be in prayer. Prayer is the very spiritual air that the soldier of Christ breathes. It is the all-pervasive strategy in which warfare is fought. It is. It is. But notice the text again, verse 18. It says, praying at all times, in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. But some of you ask, what does it mean to pray at all times? How can I pray at all times? I have to go to work sometimes. I have to do other things. I can't escape other things. How do I pray at all times? How do I, as you say, Jason, be constant in prayer? Well, what it doesn't mean is that we are to be in a formal posture of prayer all day long. We can't. It's impossible. Jesus Christ was not in a formal posture of prayer all day long. The Apostle Paul wasn't in a formal posture of prayer all day long. They needed to go and do other things. They needed to fulfill their ministry in other ways. What does it mean? It's not a formal posture of prayer continually. What it is living in a continual state of awareness and consciousness of your need for God. Your need for his guidance, your need for his intervention, your need of his favor, and your need of his strength, and your need to delight in who he is all day long. Excuse me. And so it is a mindset on the screen for you. I love how C.H. Spurgeon put it in his book, Lectures, excuse me, to my students. He describes it this way. He is not always in the act of prayer. Here Spurgeon is referring to pastors and preachers, but the principle was widespread. He is not always in the act of prayer, but he lives in the spirit of it. If his heart be in his work, he cannot eat or drink or take recreation or go to his bed or rise in the morning without evermore feeling a fervency of desire, a weight of anxiety, and a simplicity of dependence upon God. Thus, in one form or another, he continues in prayer. To fight the spiritual battle effectively, we need to be continually, constantly in the spirit of prayer. We need to have a conscious awareness. We need to have a cognizant awareness of God and our need for him, and our desire for more of him in our lives. We have to be aware at all times so that when you wake up in the morning, you are aware, oh, how I need you, God. That's praying at all times. So then when you get in the shower and you're thinking about the day, oh, God, help me today as I confront this, this, and that. There's constant awareness. You get in your car, you get on the subway, and you're sitting on the subway or on the train, and you see people all around you, and you begin to say, oh God, all these people, they need you. I don't know how many of these people don't know you, Lord, but probably most of them don't know you. Oh God, they need you. And just begin to pray. Pray at all times. You're walking down the street, and you see people, you're bumping into people, the cashier at the grocery store. You pray at all times. Pray for them. Pray continually. Sometimes I drive by in my area and I see this one house that has been turned into a psychic thingy. I don't know what they call them, a place where the psychics kind of operate. And that's demonic. Every time I drive by, oh God, dismantle the work of that house. Every time I drive by, oh God, dismantle it. Remove the authority and the power of the evil one that's happening in that house. As I see people approaching that house, oh God, stop that person. Stop them, oh God. Pray continually. Pray at all times. Pray in the Spirit. Be constant in prayer. That's how we fight. And as you have the mindset to pray at all times, to be constant in prayer, your heart will be increasingly sensitive when temptation comes and the enemy's schemes are starting to unfold. You say, no, no, no. Oh God, help me. Oh God, give me strength. Oh God, help me to resist the devil that he may flee from me. And you fight. And as you pray and be constant in prayer, you understand you'll be increasingly victorious in the battle. To fight effectively in the spiritual battle we all face, we must be constant in prayer. So, let me ask you a question. Just examine your own heart. How constant in prayer are you? How constant in prayer are you? Think about it. Come on, it's easy. Think about it. It's easy to think through. Just think about this morning, for example. You woke up in the morning. What was the first thing in your mind? You got up from your bed, and what did you start to do? And as you were doing it, what was going through your mind and heart? And as you got in the car, or got in the subway, or got on the bus, and you got to the theater this morning, you got to church this morning, what was happening in your heart and mind as you were driving? As your little children came to you and you gave them breakfast, what were you thinking? Were you saying, oh God, bless these little ones, bless them? It's a simple prayer. Throw it up to God. Pray at all times. Oh God, protect these little ones from the evil one. Sometimes I do that. I pour the cereal. I put it on the table. I do cereal. My wife does more elaborate things. I do cereal. But my wife does other stuff, good stuff. But I put the cereal in front of them. Oh God, protect them. I walk away. Oh God, shield them from the evil one. Pray at all times. Pray at all times. This is a spiritual battle. We'd be naive to think that the enemy does not have a target on our backs. We'd be naive to think the enemy doesn't have a target on our children's backs. We would be naive to think we have to fight. And we're victorious in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? But we got to pray at all times. Be constant in prayer. To fight effectively in the spiritual battle we all face, we must be constant in prayer. But secondly, write this down, we must be empowered in prayer. We must be empowered in prayer. Notice verse 18 again. He says, praying at all times, here it is, in the Spirit. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Powerful praying has nothing to do with how loud you pray or how energetic you pray or even how eloquent you pray. The power of our prayers comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not that I can get up here and jump up and down and pray really loud. That's not what makes it powerful. What makes it powerful is that the Spirit of God is what we're praying in the Spirit. We're praying in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Maybe you come from different backgrounds and you think, I've heard a lot of things on that. Praying in the Spirit means this, this, and that. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? To pray in the Spirit means to pray in accord with the Spirit of God. It means to pray in total dependence on the Spirit of God. It means to pray according to the will of God. It means to pray in line with the mind of God. It means to have our hearts and minds and prayers shaped by the heart and mind of God Himself, and to have our hearts and minds full of the truth of God's Word. And to have our hearts and minds full of the truth of God's Word is to pray according to God's will, and to pray according to God's will is to pray exceedingly powerful prayers. You got to pray according to God's will. Because that's what it means to pray in the Spirit. What Jesus Christ said about this on the screen for you. John chapter 15, verse 7, he says something so profound. It blows me away every time. The power, the weapon that we have that we can wield. He says to his disciples, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You understand what he's saying? If you stay close to me, Jesus says, and my words are in you, if my words are in you, pray whatever you want, and I'll do it. Why? He's not, because the person who has the word of God in their heart is not praying for a new Mercedes. The person who has the word of God in his heart is not praying for more popularity for themselves. The person who has the word of God in their heart is not praying for selfish things. The person who has the word of God in heart is praying according to the mind of God, which is revealed in the word of God in conjunction with the Spirit of God. And when we pray the will of God found in God's word, which is planted in our hearts, Jesus says, I'll do whatever you ask. Do whatever you ask. You understand the power? Do you understand the power of a man or a woman that has the word of God in their hearts and begins to pray in the Spirit, in accordance with the Spirit of God, in accordance with the word of God, in accordance with the mind of God? Do you understand? Jesus looks at that young man, that young woman, that old man, that old woman. He looks at you, he says, done. You got it, because that's my will. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for you, because it's for the glory of God. In John chapter 6, verse 63 on the screen for you, says this. Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Listen, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. You seeing this? You seeing the connection between the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the life that God gives? Are you seeing that? To pray in the Spirit is not to get carried away in some sense of emotionalism or sensationalism. To pray in the Spirit is to know God's Word. And to know God's Word is to know God's heart. And to know God's heart is to pray God's will. And to pray God's will is to pray in the Spirit. And to pray in the Spirit is to pray exceedingly powerful prayers like you've never prayed before and see God do exceedingly amazing things. What we need, loved ones, in our generation is less laziness and more diligence in God's word. What we need in our generation is less sensationalism in our prayers and more Holy Spirit in our prayers. But the real Holy Spirit, not the fake Holy Spirit, the real Holy Spirit who lives within us, the Spirit of God who shows his mind to us through his word. What we need is less superficiality in our prayers and more of God's truth in our prayers. What we need is less selfishness in our prayers and more sacrifice in our prayers. And this, loved ones, is the generation that God will look at and say, I will empower you as you pray in the Spirit. I will fill you as you pray in the Spirit. I will bless you as you pray in the Spirit. I will grant you the desires of your heart, because they are my desires as well that are found in my word. And that is amazing. And so we sit here in this church and we think, what could be? What could be? What could God do? We're not trying to fill seats, right? Amen? We're not trying to fill seats, right? We've been saying that from the beginning. But we have said this from the beginning. We must be a church of prayer. Why? Why? Because if people are going to be saved, we must be a church of prayer. If people are going to be impacted by the gospel in a way that only God can impact them, we must be a church of prayer. If people who hate God are going to turn to become people who love God, we must be a church of prayer. If we're going to see family members come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we must be people of prayer. If we're going to see our marriages get to healthier spots and grow and be changed and transformed and be better, we must be people of prayer. If we're going to see our children walk with the Lord and follow him, we must be people of prayer. We must be people of prayer. We must be people of prayer. We had our first prayer meeting over 2 years ago with 22 people in a room, and I said, from God's word, we must be a church of prayer. And that must continue in this next ministry year. Constant in prayer, loved ones, if we're going to fight this battle. We got to be empowered in prayer. Paul says, pray at all times. How, Paul? How? How do we pray? In the Spirit. In the Spirit. If we're going to be people who pray in the Spirit, we have to be people of God's word. We have to. It'll depend on a feeling. Sometimes I don't feel like praying. You ever been there? Sometimes I don't feel like it. Sometimes I don't know what to pray, but that's okay, because Romans 8 says, Paul says, we don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You ever feel like that? Sometimes, some of you, you're hesitant to come to the prayer meeting because you say, I don't know how to pray. It's okay. None of us know how to pray. But the Spirit of God himself intercedes for us. He shows us what we ought to pray for. He shows us. He moves us along. He prays for us. Amen. He prays through us. He puts on our hearts what's on God's heart. We must be constant in prayer. We must be empowered in prayer. And then thirdly, and finally, if we're going to fight effectively in the spiritual battle we face, well, we must be diverse in prayer. Sorry, this is not the last point. I said finally, not finally. Diverse in prayer. Notice verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit. He says, watch this, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keeping alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. The idea here is that powerful praying involves all kinds of prayers. Powerful praying involves all kinds of prayers. So I want you to get your pen and write this down. Praying at all times with all prayer means praying, write this down, generally and specifically. All prayers. Generally and specifically. Here the Apostle Paul uses two different words to describe prayer. First he uses the word prayer. Then he uses the word supplication. It says, with all prayer and supplication. The first word prayer in the original Greek refers to general prayer requests. The second Greek word supplication refers to specific prayer requests. So praying at all times with all prayer includes general prayers. Praying at all times generally. Praying at all times specifically. So you wake up in the morning and you say, oh God, I just need you today. That's a general prayer. Pray at all times. I just need you today. But you may wake up in the morning and you know you have something specific going on that day. You know first thing in the morning you have a meeting. It's going to be a hard one with your boss or your supervisor or another employee. And you wake up in the morning, you pray specifically. You don't just say, God, help me today. You say, God, I'm going to have this meeting with this manager of mine. He doesn't like me very much. He's persecuting me a little bit. God, please give me grace to be faithful to you in that meeting. God, it's just prayer, specific prayers. And we got to pray generally. We got to pray specifically. But secondly, praying at all times with all prayer means not only generally and specifically, it means praying corporately and privately. Corporately and privately. Acts 4:24 tells us, excuse me, of the early church, that they lifted their voices together to God. And John Piper suggests that most prayer meetings or most prayer mentioned in the New Testament is speaking of specifically gatherings for prayer. And that's true. If you read through the book of Acts, it wasn't so much individuals in a corner praying by themselves, although we'll see in a moment that that's important. It was gatherings for prayer. It was corporate prayer. It was like, I love you and I need you and come, let's go together. Come over here. No, don't skip the prayer meeting. Come over here. Let's join hands and let's pray. No, but I'm tired. I can't come to the prayer meeting. No, what do you mean? I mean, we need you. Come over here and we pray together. Pray corporately. The Bible tells us that in Acts, they lifted their voices together to God in prayer and God showed up powerfully. It says the place they were gathered was shaken. But not only that, Matthew 6:6 speaks of praying in private, an intimate time. It says, Jesus says, when you go to pray, go to your room and shut the door. Pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who's in secret will reward you. There's a sense that we need to be gathering together corporately. And yes, we need to have private times of prayer as well. Private times where nobody sees and nobody's looking. You're there by yourself. You're on your knees. The tears are falling from your face because only God knows what you're going through. And no one sees it. You're tempted. You want other people to come in and help, but it's just you and God, private prayer. The tears are dropping to the floor and God sees you. We need to have private prayers as well as corporate prayers. And then thirdly, praying at all times with all prayer means praying loudly and quietly. Loudly and quietly. In Psalm 142 verse 1, it says, with my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. And there are times and seasons where it's appropriate and encouraged, you'll see it all throughout the Psalms, to actually lift up your voice to the Lord. to lift up a cry to the Lord, to shout to the Lord, to say, God, I need you. A quiet, soft prayer is not going to do it right now. I cry out to you with a loud voice. But here's the significant thing we need to remember. It's not the loudness of the voice that's powerful. It's the loudness of the desperation of the heart. You may be here today, you don't have much of a loud voice, but your heart can get really loud in desperation for God. You may say, I can't lift up my voice that loudly. It's okay. Your heart can be lifted up in a loud way. You can cry out to the Lord. That's the point there. And pour out your heart to Him. There are times and seasons where it's appropriate and encouraged to cry out to the Lord. But there are also times and seasons when it's appropriate to pray quietly, even silently. Psalm 131, verse 2, I love this. It says, but I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. A Hebrew child would have been weaned at the age of 3 or 4, at which time they would experience the loss of the comfort that comes from breastfeeding. But the metaphor of the weaned child speaks of the maturity and humility with which one calms themselves and is still before the Lord. Like a weaned child is calm. We can calm our hearts. We need to calm our hearts sometimes. We need to find moments in the day where we calm down Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and television and Netflix, and the ads are everywhere. And I'm just telling you, maybe you're better than me, but I find it hard to calm down in our society. God says, calm down sometimes. Praying at all times with all prayer. It's praying with loud cries, but it's also calming ourselves before the Lord and maybe not even saying a word. God knows what's happening in your hearts. Be still and to know that He is God. Praying at all times with all prayer means praying generally, specifically, corporately and privately, loudly and quietly. And then finally this, praying at all times with all prayer means praying deliberately and spontaneously. Deliberately and spontaneously. Luke chapter 5, verse 16 says about Jesus, but He would withdraw to desolate places to pray. Jesus models for us intentional, deliberate, disciplined times of prayer. Even the Son of God needed individual times of deliberate prayer to draw strength from His Father. And listen. I'm afraid to think, if we did a survey and we looked in everyone's heart, I'm afraid to think what we would find if we were to ask the question, how often are you deliberate and intentional to pray alone? This is not for anyone to feel guilty at all. All of us are being pulled in so many directions, but God's word is bringing us back. It's bringing us back into focus. The idols of this world are calling your name. Come and hold the iPhone a little bit and just play. That's more fun than a moment in prayer. Or pull out the television and just watch TV. That's more fun. You need to wind down. It's more fun than prayer. It's pulling us. It's calling us all around us. The idols are pulling us away. But what we need to do if we're going to fight effectively, listen, you can't escape this. You will not be able to fight in the spiritual battle without deliberate planned times of prayer in your life. You cannot. You cannot fight the schemes of the evil one without getting yourself to a planned place every single day and saying, I must pray. I need you right now, God. I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I need you. And some of us in this room today, you haven't had that discipline for a long time. Remember, listen, loved ones, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You should not feel guilty today. You should feel compelled today. You should feel compelled by the love and grace of Jesus Christ and the invitation of Jesus Christ, who calls you today to Himself and says, come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Me. Come and meet with Me in prayer. Come. That thing over there won't satisfy you. Going on that thing won't satisfy you. Going on television, phone, whatever you do, that thing won't satisfy Me. But I have what you need. And rather than feeling guilty or condemned, we can just begin to take steps towards the gracious Savior. I want to pray more. I want to pray deliberately. I want to pray in a planned way. But we also pray not only deliberately, but spontaneously. We've seen that already. Spontaneous prayers are not planned. They're not in a formal posture of prayer. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So imagine just in this room today. Imagine just this room. Look, there's a lot of people in this room today. Imagine everyone in this room prayed without ceasing. Imagine everyone in this room was diligent in their prayer lives to be deliberate, to be with God privately, but also we prayed without ceasing. Imagine that. Could you imagine the power? Could you imagine the power? Could you imagine the people? Imagine every single person in this room, God gave you one soul because you prayed and you were diligent to share the gospel. Imagine everyone had one. We'd need another facility immediately. They wouldn't fit. If everyone had one person that they were praying for. Oh, loved ones, God could do so much. God could do so much if we would get our hearts in line with his plans and his truth. Pray at all times. Pray with all prayer. This is a key that Paul gives us to combat the evil one. To fight effectively in the spiritual battle we all face, we must be constant in prayer. We must be empowered in prayer. We must be diverse in prayer. And then finally, you can write this down. We're going to end here. We must be alert in prayer. We must be alert. Verse 18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, here it is, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Because the context of Ephesians 6:18 is a spiritual battle, the exhortation to keep alert makes so much sense, doesn't it? Nobody goes into a battle and they're like half asleep. Nobody does that. You walk on the front lines of a battle, you're half asleep, your weapon is kind of is not drawn, you're just going to get shot, you're dead, right? Nobody goes into a battle half asleep. You go into a battle alert. You go into a battle ready. You go into a battle prepared. Your weapon is wielded, you're ready to go. But how many Christians are sleepy Christians? How many Christians are not awake on the battlefield? We're sleeping. And we say, I don't know why I'm stuck in this pattern of sin, confess, sin, confess, sin, confess. I have no victory in my life. I have no vibrancy in my Christian life. I have no joy in my Christian life. Well, probably because you're sleeping. If we would wake up, if we would be alert on the battlefield, and we fight against the schemes of the evil one, as we are alert and awake in prayer, praying at all times with all kinds of prayers, we can begin to find the victory that God wants to give us in our lives. He says, keep alert. But notice verse 18 again. He says, with all perseverance. Effective praying, loved ones, is persevering praying. Maybe you're in this room today and you've given up on prayer. You can't give up. Paul is saying here, in the battle, you're going to get tired in the battle. You're going to get distracted in the battle. You're going to get discouraged in the battle. But you got to persevere. You said, I've come up to a few prayer meetings, and it was good and everything, but I'm not seeing anything really happening in this one thing that I'm praying for. I'm giving up. No, don't give up. We're in a battle. You're going to get shot. You're going to be dead. Don't do that. Be alert. Persevere. Endure. Press on. As Jesus said, as he taught the disciples in a parable, the men ought to pray and never give up. He taught them in the parable in Luke chapter 18 why they ought to pray and never give up, and we ought to pray and never give up. Recently in our church, we've seen marriages restored through people who are not giving up in prayer. Marriage is restored, once in shambles, once a lost cause, once it's finished. But persevering prayer takes that thing that you think is finished and it puts it back together. That's what we're seeing happen. But you got to persevere. You got to hang on. You got to be at the prayer meeting. You got to join together. Don't give in to this individual culture that we live in that says, I'm on my own doing my own thing over here. No, you're not on your own. Let's be together. Pray together. Love God together. Worship God together. Persevere together. Because when you get tired, your friend, your brother, your sister will pick you up. We can continue to pray and persevere. We need to persevere in prayer. On the screen for you is one of my favorite pictures. You'll see it there. It's a father praying for his son. We have that there? No, we don't have that there. Okay. Well, there's a picture of a father praying over his son. It's a beautiful picture. The imagery is one of a father kneeling down and praying over his son. And in the background, there's this sense that there's a spiritual battle raging. And how we need loved ones to persevere in prayer for our children. Not just when they're small, when they grow up. Some of you, you're struggling. Your children have gone off course. Some of you, your family members have gone off course. And we think to ourselves, well, it's out of control now. What can I do? Loved ones, persevere in prayer. Don't give up. God will do what only he can do in the time that he chooses to do it. You and I just need to be obedient to his call to pray, to be alert, to persevere in prayer. So question for you. Is there something in your life that you've given up on? Just think, every single individual. Is there something in your life that you've given up on? You've grown weary in praying for this thing. Now just think about that thing and just begin to understand. Ask yourself the question, is it out of God's grasp? Is it out of God's sight? Is it out of God's ability or capability? All of us would say, of course not. Nothing is out of God's grasp. Therefore, pray. Pray. Seek him. Run after him. Persevere in prayer. Be alert in prayer. Because while the enemy has some real schemes, he is a defeated foe. Amen? He is a defeated foe. Right now in this room today, you may have some needs. I want to ask you all to bow your heads right now really quickly. We're about to celebrate the Lord's Supper. The worship team can come. We're not finished yet. I want you to get this thing really personal in your hearts. Text ends this way. Paul goes on to say, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We want to do this last part, making supplication for all the saints. If you're in this room today and you need prayer, you need prayer. You have a loved one that doesn't know the Lord. You have a crisis that's happening in your life. You have a financial difficulty that's hit you by storm. You have a child that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a need that you have not been able to meet on your own. If you have a need today, we're going to practice what Paul tells us to do here, praying for all the saints. If you have a need today, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand right now. Slip up your hand. So many needs in this room. It's not a time to worry. It's not a time, oh, what are people going to think of me? This is a time to slip up your hand if you have a need, because we're going to do what Paul says to do here right now. We're going to pray for you. Slip up your hand really high. Don't worry. Don't hesitate. Some of you are thinking, well, my situation is so out of control. I mean, what do I put my hand up for? I don't even know. Put up your hand. I want to pray for you. By putting up your hand, there's nothing mystical or magical happening. It's just you acknowledging before the God of the universe how much you need him. Your hand up really high. With your heads bowed, I'm going to pray for you right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, you see every hand that's raised in the name of Jesus Christ. Your children, oh God, you love them. You know them. You know them by name. And while I don't know the circumstances, I don't know the situations that each hand represents, Lord, you do. And you exhort us to be alert in prayer, to persevere in prayer. You exhort us to pray and make supplication for all the saints. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we make supplication for all the saints in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, for everyone. You know the hardships, whether it's a financial crisis, whether it's a marriage that's dissolving, whether it's a friendship that's been hurt or damaged. You know each one. Whether it's someone looking for work that can't find work, it's a student that doesn't have direction for their life, or it's a marriage that's collapsing, oh God, you know each need. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray in the Spirit that you would meet the needs of the people in this room today. God, if it's an unsaved loved one, I pray in the name of Jesus you would cause that unsaved loved one to see the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If it's a financial difficulty, I pray that you would show us, Lord, what your word says to us, what you require of us, the integrity you demand from us in the area of our finances, that we would walk in financial freedom, Lord, not to be rich and prosperous, but to be honoring to you. Oh God, would you do that? Give us the means, Lord. Help us. Help us. And people in this room, they have a health crisis. They're sick in their body. It's a terminal illness, perhaps. Oh, God, I pray that you would extend your loving arms towards that person or those people, and that they would find peace in their hearts, that the God of the universe loves them and wants to comfort them and encourage their hearts. Oh, God, you know every need, and I'm so glad that none of it is outside of your vision or your grasp. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ, we make supplication for all the saints right now, that we may love you more, that we may see you more, that we may pursue you more, that we may find satisfaction in our life in you. Do that in our lives, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, if you agree, say amen. Amen. You can put your hands down, loved ones. God is at work. We're going to participate in Lord's Supper right now. You're going to each get two cups, one on top of the other. They're going to be representations of symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And maybe this is a moment for you to repent or to confess of sin that's been going on in your hearts, but it's a moment for all of us to reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins. Isn't it so glorious that when Jesus hung on the cross and died for our sins, he gave us access to God? Isn't it so glorious that now that the temple veil is torn, we can seek God in prayer, we can approach the throne of grace in prayer? Just reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ right now. The servers are going to come. The worship team is going to lead us right now.